Hello and welcome to another There Are Giants podcast. I'm your host Roger Munter, and it's time to start the 2024 minor league season. And so this week I have with me Renzi Regadone, who anybody who follows Giants prospects knows from Twitter, from Bayside Baseball, from around the Foghorn, all over the place. And we're going to take a look at the entire system from Sacramento to San Jose as good as we can and preview the upcoming year. This may be a long one, so strap in. Renzi, how are you doing from the other side of the world?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I hope the dogs are fine outside, but yeah, I'm doing well. It's a good time to be a Giants fan, I must say, because in the major leagues there are some big signings. The prospects are starting to come up into the system or into the big leagues. We see Kyle Harrison, Landon Roop, Eric Miller soon, Kaiwei Tang, and Luis Matos. Like, it's so much fun to be a Giants fan right now. And also, we also have the minor league system that is starting to show itself to the next wave of Giants prospects that will trickle up into the system. Then they will make a big impact in San Francisco. And it's just a good time to be a Giants fan, don't you think, Roger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's taken us a while to get to this point, but right now the Major League Club has a really good mixture, I think, of veterans and youth. We've got, you know, we just watched Kyle Harrison last night, recording this on the weekend. Keaton Wynn's going to make his start here pretty soon. Like I say, Roop and Tang and Miller are all part of the bullpen, as is Ryan Walker, who joined last year, and Camilo Duvall the year before. There's getting to be a real kind of homegrown feel to the club, without those kids necessarily having to shoulder all the burden, because there's a lot of talent around them. Of course, Logan Webb, the best prospect development story of the last 10 years, probably anchoring it all. And there's a lot of upper minors talent right behind him. So yeah, it is a pretty good time. I feel like I'm going into this year with more optimism than I've had in a season, both at the major league level and the minor league level for a while. I don't know if that's true of you too.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way, because I mean, this is the generation that the next wave of prospects that Farhan Zaidi has a lot of touch on, because he drafted, I mean, Luis Matos and Marco Siano are not his signees, but they grew in his regime. So it's going to be very exciting that the Farhan Zaidi prospects are starting to trickle up to San Francisco and see what they can do, and hopefully, you know, be a foundational piece of the Giants roster, not just this year, but of course beyond. And that's a very exciting thing for me, and because I covered them a lot and I have a little bit of sentimental feeling about them.
Yeah, I think too, you know, you make a good point, because people put too much of an emphasis on, oh, who was in charge when this guy was signed or when this guy was drafted. You know, that's just a part of player development. It's an important part. Scouting is an important part, but it's only part of the whole player development process. And like you say, Matos, Luciano, and these guys have played their entire professional career under Farhan Zaidi's regimen. Of course, it took him a few years to kind of build up the infrastructure I think he wanted on the player development side, but we're starting to see the result of a lot of good things in the system. Let's start getting ready for the year, and I think we're just going to go level by level here. We'll start at Sacramento. Unfortunately, we don't have rosters yet out. The Giants tend to be a little secretive in some of their transactions and roster moves. So we don't have rosters even for Sacramento, who was supposed to start their year last night, but didn't because of rain. So we'll have to do some guessing as we go along. We have a pretty good idea, I think, where the levels are. So let's start with the Sacramento team, Renzi. And I guess my first question for you is, is as you look at what we presume the Sacramento roster is going to be, where is sort of your focus of attention going? What's the unit of this club that jumps out at you the most?
I think the group that jumped out to me the most right away is the pitching, because they have a lot of talent there. Like there's Mason Black, Carson Wisenhunt likely, because they're pushing Wisenhunt very rapidly through the system. They also have Carson Seymour likely, because he was the workhorse for the Richmond Flying Squirrels last year, and it's a natural thing to expect him to be as part of the Rivercats pitching rotation. And there's also Kaiwei Tang supposedly, but he got pushed up when Luke Jackson got injured. And there are also a couple of veterans there like Spencer Howard, Dalton Jeffries that we'll see, Tommy Romero likely. And there's it's just an exciting thing to watch, because there are two top 10 prospects there with Wisenhunt and Black. And there's also one, Carson Seymour, who is a clear top 30 prospect, at least for me. So it's a fun time to follow the rotation. But there are also the position player side that is very exciting. But yeah, the starting pitching is what caught me the most early on.
Yeah, it's I actually got mostly a preview of this group last year because there's a lot of arms here that were on the Richmond squad last year, particularly in that rotation, as you point out, Black and Tang and Seymour and Wisenhunt. I think it's gonna be really exciting to see what he does at this level. Obviously, he tore through the bottom levels last year before running into the elbow soreness. They've been bringing him along slowly, but I agree they're gonna put him on the Sacramento roster, and he's a guy who can. He can force his way up pretty soon because he's got a big league weapon that he can use. If he throws strikes, particularly with the fastball, does a little work on the breaking ball, he's not that far away, and he's definitely exciting. They also have some really interesting bullpen arms. Randy Rodriguez, obviously, RJ Dabovich coming back from hip surgery, Juan Sanchez, who had such a good spring. So yeah, the pitching staff does leap out. I will say that I'll get to go to the position player side and say the outfield on the Sacramento roster is kind of what grabs my attention at first. There's a lot of really interesting outfield candidates. Louis Mata, of course, Louis Matos is now up with the Giants for a few days, but he'll be back when Yaz is back from paternity. And I think it's interesting to see what happens with Elliot Ramos. I mean, it's clear the organization doesn't believe in him. He might be playing for, a job with his next organization at this point, but I want to see if he can take another step beyond what he did last year. And then you have Wade Meckler, who actually just was put on the IL yesterday. I noticed he came up with a late spring injury. And everybody's favorite, Ishmael Munguia, should be part of this roster too. So I like the outfield. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And Matos should at some point get a chance to take a job at the major league level or prove that he's worth being on the roster in 2025. So he's one to watch really carefully. And then, the left side of the infield, Marco Luciano and Casey Schmidt, these are two guys. We saw a little bit of them in the majors. Luciano is still really important to this organization. And I just think by the end of the year, he needs to be an everyday member of the Giants lineup. They should not be running Nick Diomed out there all year. So Lucy needs to, get the reps he needs and catch up and the development time he needs. And he needs to prove he's ready to be a big league asset during the course of the year. That's maybe my most important story in Sacramento this year.
Yeah, I mean, Luciano had a pretty rough spring for the most part. Then he got hot towards the final couple of games or so. But on defense, I think he did well. He was solid. Not spectacular, but solid. But the approach that we saw last year from him, the uber patient approach, like going to get into two strike counts, then he's likely shooting himself on the foot, or like the foot is one or is hanging on the players. I think we saw that again in spring. And but there are times when he connects, man, that power, man, it's so satisfying to watch. It's so satisfying to watch, I must say. Then with Ramos, I don't know. I mean, there are times in spring training when they hand out the lineups on this game. And you expect Ramos to be at least in the starting lineup or in the early substitutes, but he didn't really show up.
No.
I don't know what's going to go. I don't know what's going on with Ramos and the front and the coaches and the decision makers there. But yeah, I think he's in the doghouse. At least Bart is in the 40-man roster, or in the 26-man, I should say. He was carried on, but Ramos, I don't know about him. But I mean, I think I still have a lot of belief in Ramos because when he actually plays, he plays well, he plays hard. But yeah, it's a sad situation. And yeah, I mean Munguia, I mean how do we start the Barney Nugent Award winner? He's very exciting to watch. I mean, at least a lot of casual fans are starting to see the energy, the passion that Munguia brings to the clubhouse. And it's just fun to watch, and we're going to see him likely soon in a major league level, and that's exciting to me.
Yeah, on Ramos, there was a day I was at minor league camp last week, and the Giants had a split squad going on at spring training. So they were filling out two different rosters, and as a result of the minor league level, like the AAA roster was all made up of guys from extended and low A and everything. And there was Ramos playing in right field, and I was like, man, they got to build a basement in the doghouse for where he is, because this org really is burying him. The thing about Luciano and I said this when the Giants signed Jorge Soler, that I thought it'd be good for Luciano to sort of have him to bounce ideas off of, because Soler is actually the ideal of kind of where you'd like to see Luciano get to. He does strike out a lot, but he has a good idea of the strike zone. He doesn't really go out of the strike zone a ton, and he's also aggressive on fastballs early in the count. And I think that's the next adjustment that Luciano needs to make. I was actually gratified that I was in camp. I was talking to somebody pretty high up in the Giants front office, and I asked about Luciano. And first thing he said was, he's been curiously passive at the plate this spring. And I'm like, yes, that's right. That's the adjustment he needs to make. But we always see him do this. I went back recently and looked at my records. I was there for his first week in Eugene. He struck out in half his at bats. I was there for his first week in Richmond. He struck out for half of his bats. That's kind of the way he starts, and then he heats up. And I think no matter how well he does in Sacramento, we need to prepare ourselves for the fact that when Luciano gets to the majors, he's going to struggle there for a while, and you just kind of have to let him get through it, because traditionally he has.
Yeah, I mean he takes time to build himself some momentum. Like he will like this spring, his momentum was started to build up, and then we saw the power, the two home runs that he hit towards the final couple of games or so. Then I think the adjustment will be a little bit smoother this time. I mean, he has some familiarity of what to expect now in Triple A, in how the ball carries, in how the pitchers actually pitch there. I mean, there's an adjustment to the ABS this year, which might be a little bit beneficial for the pitchers, but I hope that Luciano is starting to starts to acclimate himself better, to push himself into San Francisco very soon. Because yeah, I agree, Nick Ahmed, you as a if I'm a front office guy, I want to see Luciano push well and push Nick Ahmed into the bench. And because I mean, it's just I mean, in my opinion, it's just not right, and I want to see Luciano there. I mean, Schmidt or Luciano, I would like to see there. Because yeah, I mean, I want my youth movement, man.
Well, let's look for some sleeper candidates on the Sacramento roster. Do you have any? We both are longtime fans of Munguia, so maybe he gets to be sleeper emeritus, we'll look for
Yeah,
some
he
other people. He
graduated.
graduated. That's right. Who are your favorite kind of personal cheese balls on this roster?
Honestly, you spoke about him. It's Juan Sanchez, the left reliever, who was a star in spring, and he was actually, I think he would be in the four in the 20s, and if not for for 40-man roster constrictions.
Yeah.
But the way he pitched, it was very pleasant to see. I made a deep dive once again of his repertoire because I was quite intrigued, and I checked that the changeup has been the number one pitch for him throughout last year, at least in Sacramento, because and the movement profile is quite special. It's quite unique because both in terms of sync and in terms of running action, it's at least a plus grade in terms of Statcast, at least. And the sinker is quite good. He throws from a near 5 foot, really, so it benefits from the top of the strike zone. I mean, Juan Sanchez can deal with both lefties and righties. The only trouble that I see from him is that the walk rate is kind of fringy to below average, to say the least. And although the strikeouts are at least very much above average to plus, and you kind of want to see him throw more strikes because I mean it's what major leaguers do: throw strikes, get strikeouts, and generate weak contact. And I think Sanchez can generate weak contact and can make swing and miss. The only issue that I see for him is not giving up walks at a high rate. And it starts with a fastball and fastball control and fastball confidence for me. And once he gets that and he gets to the 40 man, I think there's a chance that he can be a reliever that can be trusted in late inning situations in a major league setting for quite some time.
Yeah, the thing that has always impressed me about Sanchez is he's really, really put in the work to improve himself every year. I've seen him pitch, 4 years in a row now. Every year he's better. Every year he throws a little harder. Every year he's in a better physical place. His stuff is picked up from year to year, and it's because of the work he's putting in behind the scenes. So all credit to him for turning himself into a guy who I think is going to be a major leaguer. And he's only 23. I mean, he's been around for 6 years at this point, but he's still really, really young in terms of their relievers.
Yeah, I mean, before when he was young, I mean, I still remember that he had that like Clayton Kershaw-esque wind up in San Jose. Yeah. Then he ditched that. I mean, I think he ditched that recently, as far as I can remember, just last year. Then he went to a more deceptive lower arm slot type, and it. I mean, the work that he's put in over the years is quite inspiring, I must say, and I mean, I'm proud of him as an under the radar guy. I mean, he has a lot of potential as an under the radar candidate.
I will pick for my sleeper candidate someone you've already mentioned, Carson Seymour. I think Seymour gets lost amongst the various right-handed power pitchers in this organization, but he's really good. He's a very big guy. He's got good velocity, good stuff. He seems to have been messing around with the sweeper this year. I actually like his vertical slider better as a swing and miss pitch. And I think he's probably ultimately going to be a reliever. I think he's mostly a two-pitch guy, so it fits better in the pen. But he definitely has a big league arm. He's got good run on his fastball. He gets lots of grounders, mostly suppresses homers, and can miss enough bats to make it work. I think Seymour, who they picked up from the Mets in the Darren Ruff trade, definitely is a guy who's going to have an impact at the next level.
I think Bivens too, Spencer Bivens has the potential to be an under the radar candidate because in spring training he has shown that turbo sinker that it's just very, very hard to get on top of the ball. And it's a very helpful ground ball pitch that, I mean, the Giants have pretty good infield defense now. And if there's a pinch that where they are running out of pitchers, they can add him up in the 40 man, then see what happens. It's quite a journey for him,
Yeah.
starting in France for all places. And then he bounced around in independent leagues, then got signed by the Giants when he was around in his late 20s, and now he's like quite 30 years old or something, and he's trying to make his big league dream work. It's quite a story alongside Sanchez, I must say.
Yeah, and he another guy who really put in work. He really improved on his strike throwing last year. There were times early in the year where he was kind of the guy who would come in when games were out of control. And his slider, he was throwing some real scuds with that slider. But as the year went on, he really improved his ability to kind of fill up the strike zone. Well, let's move on to Richmond. Not quite the star-studded roster we had last year in Richmond, but there's a lot of really interesting characters here. I'll ask you the same question. What part of this team jumps out at you as the most compelling right off the bat?
Probably the most compelling for me is the outfield group, I must say, because there's quite some known commodities here. I mean, we will likely see Grant McRae get promoted to Richmond. I mean, that's a natural transition for him. He got featured a lot in spring training as one of the early pinch runners and early defensive substitutions. And we're likely to also see Victor Barrichello get a full season in Richmond. He got promoted mid-season to that level, and he's held his own. And we will likely see him dominate this time, hopefully in a tougher environment. But he has the power and the batting ability to do it, quite honestly. And we're likely to also see, we also likely see Hunter Bishop. He's once again healthy. Finally, we saw him in spring training. He was moving well. He was swinging quite well, and he looked great physically. And it might be the time for Hunter Bishop to, quite put together a solid bounce back season to put him back on the map. And I think we'll also likely see someone like a Carter Howell, who ended up in Eugene last season, or Turner Hill. Turner Hill is more of a long shot than compared to Howell. And I think we'll also likely see Von Braun here, a stud outfield prospect who got hurt so much last year that it kind of put a dent in his prospect stock. And hopefully he can bring it back. Once he's fully healthy, has shown that he's fully healthy. And yeah, it's quite a name. The outfield group has a lot of known names that gets me excited, I must say.
Yeah, I was going to go to the outfield too. I mean, the McRae, Barrichello, Brown, Bishop quartet, who really, if they're healthy, they should be out there every day. And of course, if they're healthy is a big if for a couple of those guys. That's the best outfield group you probably have at any level this year. Maybe Matos and Meckler and Ramos are right there with them. But that's a pretty exciting group, and that's where I'm going to refocus a lot of my attention. But since you took the outfield, I'll go ahead and say the starting pitching, because there's some really, really interesting members of this rotation. We're going to see Hayden Birdsong come back here, who's maybe the highest upside right-handed arm in this organization. He ended the year in Richmond. He needs to make some steps forward on his strike throwing. A little more consistent on the shapes of the curve and the slider, step forward with making those two distinct pitches. But the fastball just has so much life. If he's attacking guys in the zone, he'll move quickly. I hope not too quickly, because I want to see him. And then I think you're going to see Carson Ragsdale here, who has had such trouble staying on the field the last few years. He had thoracic outlet surgery. He had some issues coming back from that. He had elbow tenderness last year that wiped him out for the year. He is a guy who is one of the best combinations of stuff and strike throwing in the system. So I think he's going to get pushed up to Richmond. He's getting, kind of old at this point. He needs to move fast. He should be part of that group. I think Eric Silva, who really was showing big stuff in spring this year. I saw him 95, 97, with really, really good movement on the slider. He obviously is coming off a disappointing year where the stuff backed up, and also he just looked like he lacked confidence. But he's only 21 years old and probably starting in double A. I know it feels like the last couple of years the results haven't been there, but the Giants still believe in his arm. And then I think he behind a little bit, so maybe not on opening day, but Reggie Crawford's going to be part of this team. And he obviously, I kind of wonder if at some point the Giants are going to decide, let's just move this guy as fast as his stuff will allow and use him as a reliever. And I think as a reliever, he could be in San Francisco this year. Trying to build him into a starter is going to take a while, but his stuff is, the best in the organization. So they're not going to want to waste too many of his bullets, but he's going to be part of this team, I think, when he's ready to go. And then Ryan Murphy, who's still, a really good sort of starter depth guy. I saw him in camp this year. He told me he feels healthy, he feels good, he can focus on his craft, which is always a big part of, how well a pitcher's doing. He's got a chance to pitch his way out of here and up to Sacramento too. So that's a pretty good and exciting rotation of arms that I'm excited to see pitch every day.
Yeah, I mean, Reggie Crawford, man, 99 with a wipeout slider and a pretty good changeup. I mean, Crawford's gonna get pushed very quickly through the system. And yeah, I would not be surprised if he's in Richmond and he's in Sacramento by June if things go well. If he's healthy, that's a caveat for him. If they're going to push him after babying him for most of last season, if not all of last season. And yeah, it's nice to see Murphy. It's nice to see Murphy back and healthy. I mean, Birdsong, we already know about him. Yeah, I mean J.M. Bertrand, I mean, innings eater, classic innings eater. I mean Ragsdale, hopefully he's healthy, man. He's just a fighter. Whenever he pitches, he does well, and then wouldn't you know it, he's already hurt again. Hopefully he finds that consistent run of health, because he has it. He has the it factor. He has the stuff. He has the control. And if he's just playing healthy, he's going to be a good one for the Giants. And I mean, I'm interested with the bullpen as well. I mean, we have Evan Gates, pretty good 2022. I mean, not so much in 2023, but he's more on focusing on his breaking balls and his slider and curveball combination. That's quite interesting. We also have Tyler Myrick. I mean, I know you like Tyler Myrick so
I
much.
do, yeah.
Yeah, he had good rise on fastball, and the sliders just has the potential to be pretty good secondary pitch for him. We also have, I mean, Matt Olson. We saw him in spring. Herky jerky guy. The fastball plays up in the strike zone with that hammer curveball. I mean, we will also likely see Will Kempner. I mean, talk about sidewinders, man. He ha he's one of the most funkiest guys that you'll ever see, like Sergio Romo, Tyler Rogers, that kind of funk. Camilo Duval, Ryan Walker, yeah, he's next in line. I mean, we'll also likely see, I mean, Tanner Kiss. He's an unknown guy, but I think it's pretty interesting. He pitched quite a bit this spring, and yeah, I mean, the Richmond bullpen is also, I mean, quite interesting for me. I mean, we haven't talked about the infielders yet.
Well, we'll get to them. Tyler Keast is another guy in the Spencer Bivens sort of category who's just been out there working for years and years and has never given up on his dream. So he's a fun guy to watch. I completely forgot to mention Trevor McDonald, who should also be part of this group. I saw him pitch last week and he looked great too. And I chatted with him. He said he felt good. So he should be on this team. But let me ask you, maybe we can get an infielder out of this question. Who are your sleepers on this group? We went through like guys like Tyler Myrick are obviously in sleeper category, and John Michael Bertrand. Give me a sleeper candidate for the Richmond roster who you really like.
I mean, it's quite tough to choose, but I think I'm going to go with Jimmy Glowacki. He's quite a known commodity that where he's proven last year that he can handle double A quite well. And I think he got quite jealous with Logan Wyatt get pushed up, and why not me too? So he got pushed up and performed well. He's my position player of the year for Richmond last year, and he's ever since he got promoted, he's around the top five in several of the common hitting categories for Richmond. And this spring, I think they experimented him in third base, which is quite interesting because he's mostly played in second base. And I think the arm strength is there for him. It's just that the arm accuracy, well, it's not quite there for him to be a long-term answer at third base. But I mean, given the lack of depth at the position across all the affiliates in the Giants system, it's worth a shot. It's worth a try to have Glowacki play third base. And he has quite a pop. He controls the strike zone quite well. I mean, he's a solid hitter, and he's quite a good defender at second base. And you see him try third base, and I mean, just pray that he does well. And it's an unknown potential, but that I mean, he looks like a high floor, low ceiling guy, but I think you can squeeze quite more potential in with him.
I was also going to say Jimmy Glinky for my sleeper. He's a really classic. If you just watch him play, he doesn't have any sort of tools that pop, but he does everything well. He interesting. He had incredibly dramatic home road splits last year. The Diamond just crushed him, but he killed the Eastern League on the road. So if he comes back and can get over that little home thing, he might be able to hit his way out. So since you took Glowacki, I will say Logan Wyatt. I do think the changes he made to his approach last year were significant. He got a little more aggressive. He got out front to get to his power and tried to tone down some of his classic passivity. He's still going to draw a lot of walks, but he's a big, big guy who has real legit power. He just needs to, tweak the approach. And he talked about that last year. I think he's a platoon guy and he's a first baseman, but there is a chance for a real kind of power and walk platoon first baseman in there if he can continue to make the strides he did last year. So I'm interested to see what he has. And I'll just throw one more in there. I'm kind of interested to see what Damon Dews does in Richmond. He's been a walk machine, an on-base machine at the lower levels. He's a little guy and he's had trouble staying healthy, kind of like Munguia. But he has a long track record of getting on base. So it'll be fun to see him this year.
Oh, I mean, Damon Dews will be my runner-up because I love watching the guy. He's quite fast. He moves well in the bases. He plays hard. He defends well at second base or all over the field. And he can also pitch. Like, yeah, he can do it all. I think he can catch. Just let the Giants try. Just let them try it because I think yeah, he's fit that energy ball of a guy and like Munguia, and it's going to be a fun watch as well. And I think we'll also see Luis Toribio back, which is good. It's very good because I mean the guy still has that pop. And I saw some clips of him recently where he's still putting the ball at a very, very hard rate. And it's quite good to see him healthy and hit the ball hard. And we'll likely see him platoon with Glowacki, likely as a lefty bat at third base or, as a DH when Logan Wyatt is the DH.
Yeah, I think Brett Auerbach's going to make sure Damon Deuce doesn't pick up a catcher's gear. He's going to say, "Hey, that's my bit. You're getting in on my action." But it will be fun to watch those too.
Also, I mean, I still have one guy to talk about, and that's Jose Cruz,
Yeah.
because, yeah, I mean, he had that magical 2022 season where he got put in the 40 man, got protected from the Rule 5 draft. Then last year he struggled, I must say, because of the control. And when the fastball control that is not there, there's nobody who will try to chase the changeup that he had. And he was DFA'd, and I think he was DFA'd because
He was
and was
he was
signed back.
non-tendered officially.
Oh, non-tender. Yeah, I forgot the term. He was non-tender, then was signed back, and we'll likely see him in Richmond. And I mean, I hope that he can regain his confidence back, because what we saw of him in 2022 was quite special. I mean, it's like Camilo Duval light, I must say. He has that kind of arm, that lively arm, and hopefully he gets the confidence back to be a must-see reliever once again.
Yeah, he really had struggled with the strike throwing in Richmond, and also the stuff was down a little bit. It tended to be more like 93, 94 than 96, 97 as we saw him in San Jose. So he needs to make some improvements on both of those. Hopefully, get the stuff back, and also just do a lot better job of throwing strikes with his fastball. Okay, so let's turn our attention to the A ball squads now, and here we're getting into, I think, some murkier territory, which. A little harder to figure out what the Giants are going to do. I don't know about you, Renzi. I keep looking at sort of the bodies that they have and the places they have to fill with the 165 rule. It's just, you got to spread your bodies out. I'm kind of assuming that Maui Ahuna and Cole Foster have got to be on the Eugene team. I don't see how else they make it work. They drafted five infielders in the top 5 rounds last year, and they had a bunch left over. So I think they have to push at least those two, maybe Quinn McDaniel to Eugene. So I'm going to go on that logic. I don't know if you agree with me, but as you look at the Eugene roster, which is clearly the least sort of interesting or least talented or whatever, or least prospect laden of the four affiliates, what catches your eye on the Eugene roster as you imagine it's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I agree on that. Ahuna and Foster will be likely in Eugene because you have Walker Martin and other middle infield prospects that are still so young that should be playing in San Jose this year. So, I mean, the problem with that is that Diego Velasquez will also be playing in Eugene, and you'll have like a three-man middle infield crunch. I mean, there's also guys like, I mean, Andrew Kekel, Justin Bench likely is going to be there. I mean, who knows who will be in Eugene, because I mean, the weather early on is pretty rough for hitters because it's cold, it's raining, you share the stadium with University of Oregon. It's not exactly ideal start up for the season, but yeah, given how young and how advanced, I mean, quote unquote advanced, Ahuna and Foster are compared to guys like Walker Martin or so. I think I agree with you with the Eugene situation there. I mean, in terms of the most interesting demographic in Eugene, I think I'm gonna go with the catchers because, I mean, it doesn't really have like the known commodities, doesn't really have the Adrian Sagastis of the world, doesn't really have any known commodity at all outside of Patrick Bailey last year. Though I think it has a lot of depth in O'Neill Perez, who was really good last year, got promoted mid-season to Eugene. You also have Zach Morgan. We saw him in spring training throughout a pretty past Wilder Patino in spring training is pretty good too. And we also likely have, Thomas Gavello, who was an all-around utility guy, also played catch. He's pretty valuable because he bats left-handed. I mean, I don't know who will be in the mix in terms of the 2023 draft class because they drafted two different, completely different catchers in Luke Schlieger and Jack Peyton, I'm sorry. Both are interesting bats. They're different in their profiles as Schlieger is more of a patient guy, while Peyton is more of an aggressive poolside hitter. And with pretty comparable gloves. I mean, I don't know which one, if ever one will get promoted to Eugene, but the number of guys who will be competing for playing time in as behind the plate is going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I do think O'Neill Perez is the best. He might be the best catching prospect in the system at this point. I am interested to see him play, and it is a crowded group, as you say. I saw Thomas Covello get some action in at catcher. He didn't catch much last year, but he was catching some in camp, and he's part of the infield mix too. So I guess my group that I'm most interested in is the infield. Maui Ohuna was kind of the talk of camp this year. He's a very wiry, strong kid. Excuse me. Really good actions defensively, good range, smooth athlete, good swing. And Cole Foster showed off some power. He's got, really good offensive potential from both sides of the plate. And what I saw of them in spring is they were moving Ohuna and Foster and Velasquez around pretty consistently, the shortstop, second base, third base. So I think they're going to do a rotation of those three at those three spots. Now there are some other pieces you pointed out. Gavello moves all over the place. He's a good third baseman that can mix in. Cachel mostly has been playing first base from what I've seen of him. Justin Waskowski is somehow in that mix too. Justin Bench, as you mentioned, is a good utility guy. I think those guys are all going to be sort of coming off the bench. So that makes it a little crowded, but I think that's the way they're going to arrange it. And Ohuna and Foster are two guys who really have a chance to kind of zoom up the prospect rankings with good years this year. I was actually talking with Kyle Haynes when I was in camp about, how the 165 is going to affect things, the 165 domestic reserve list. And he said, one thing he said was, you may see guys repeat levels more, that you have to kind of push people up to spread them around, but you may see guys repeat levels more. And that's something we could see with guys like Ohuna and Foster, that they get and Bandura and Quinn McDaniel too, that they get a big push at the beginning and then, they have to kind of take a while to adjust to it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Ohuna there. I mean, when last time I talked with Mark DeLucchi, a good friend of ours, I compared Ohuna to like a lefty Iverson Arteaga in terms of plus glove, plus arm, good speed. The question is ultimately with a bat. And I mean, if you really think about it that hard, Ohuna is just a year older than Arteaga while having comparable skill sets, and then you also got that advantage that he is left-handed. So I mean, logically speaking, I think we should think of Ahuna more highly, in my opinion, compared to, I mean, not comparing to Arteaga, because Arteaga, we already know what he can pretty much get out of him. He's a great defender. I mean, he will miss all of this season, so crossing our fingers that he'll stay healthy or he'll recover well for next season. But yeah, I mean, it's the 165 situation is going to be a really, really hard one for the decision makers, because there are some good guys that will get unceremoniously cut, which is somehow sad. But it's a necessary step because Major League Baseball wants this to happen, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, aggressive promotions, somehow they'll likely stay here in Eugene, then maybe they'll get demoted back to San Jose or so on and so forth. Yeah, I can already imagine a lot of movement from either high A to low A. And yeah, it's a predicament that I'm not envious with.
You said Arteaga will miss the whole season. I'm not sure that's true. They put him on the 60-day, so he's out for a while. They did not put him on the full season injured. I know when Ragsdale had his thoracic outlet surgery, he was pitching again in July, I think, of the following year. So hopefully we will still see Arteaga sometime this summer. I know it's a difficult surgery to come back from, with uncertain
Yeah,
results.
prayers up for that one.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, as you look at this Eugene roster, I don't know for you, I assume for you, for me, this is the only one of the four affiliates that doesn't have any of my top 10 prospects. I'm not sure if it has a top 20. I know Velasquez was like 21 or something on my Velasquez and O'Neill Perez are the closest to the top 20 out of this whole roster that we're looking at. And the starting rotation is the least impressive probably of the four as well. I assume we're going to see something like Jack Choate and Manuel Mercedes and maybe Nick Senecola, maybe Hayden Wynja, Seth Lawnsway, perhaps, maybe Matt Mikulski. That's going to be something like the rotation, a lot of return from last year's. So it's not necessarily, one of the strong rotations in this system. Although I do like Manuel Mercedes a lot. I think people sleep on him a little bit. So let's turn to your sleepers. Who are the guys on this roster that you think are you have a little more highly rated than maybe most people?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of when I also look at my rankings just now, and I mean, speculatively, Ahuna is my top rank, smack dab at number 20. So yeah, I mean, this team is probably not going to be talked upon very much, but I know you do that. Me and you and other Giants prospects guys will support them and post them on social media and on our sites and other places. But yeah, I mean, this overall team is not going to be, full of star-studded names, I must say. At least maybe at the second half of the season we'll get that, but at the opening day, yeah, we're not going to get that star-studded lineup or pitching rotation like we had last year. So I mean, for my sleepers, I mean, you talk about him already. I mean, I'm going to pick Scott Bandura, the outfielder who was a small school guy. I mean, our friend Brian Recker really loves him
Yeah.
so much. Yeah, I mean, when he burst into the scene, like on Twitter, like in Papago, he was already hitting well against complex level competition. Then he got on San Jose, and his early start is just very, very impressive. In terms of the power, speed, contact ability, it's just an all-around skill set that it's pretty rare to see. I mean, last time that I remember that is kind of like Armani Smith. Can hit for power, has some wheels, has a good arm, can play the outfield well. I mean, Armani Smith, yeah. I mean, he didn't really pan out as we had hoped, but I think Bandura can follow that footsteps. I mean, he's still growing into his body. I mean, latest clips of him are still show that he can still tuck in a little bit more muscle into that frame for that more power. But yeah, I mean, I have a lot of excitement with Bandura, especially he's a small school guy. Like I remember he was in Princeton, right? Like he was Ivy League school, not really known about. Yeah, but I mean, he's a good player. He's a good player. I like him a lot.
I'm gonna cheat and name a few guys, but I actually think the bullpen in Eugene is kind of interesting, and there are a lot of under the radar arms that are interesting in here. A lot of guys who kind of stretched out and pitched multi innings last year. Daniel Blair is a good arm. Dylan Cumming with his sweeper is a good arm. Tyler Vogel, I think we should probably spend a little more time talking about, but my sleeper here is actually Julio Rodriguez, who's always been a guy with a really good arm and a big sweeping slider, big spin rates. I saw him up to 97 in camp this year, and he was really kind of eye popping. He's always had a great arm and starting to put it together. The velocity is coming. He's a guy who I think could really turn heads this year with a good season, Eugene. He could move fast. But I do also want to turn to Tyler Vogel, who I know you wanted to talk about as well. He's also one of the sort of rising relief stars, I think, in the system.
Yeah, I mean, I think Julio Rodriguez is on that path of like becoming the next Jose Cruz, Randy Rodriguez, who, you know, like lower level guys who will get protected in the 40 man or protected from the rule five because their stuff is just really promising as a building block, and you hope that he can carry that over. Unfortunately, with Jose Cruz and that's in some ways that Randy Rodriguez didn't really pan out, but yeah, I mean Trevor McDonald was given the same treatment. So yeah, I mean we like Trevor McDonald. So yeah, I mean there Julio Rodriguez has that potential, and I mean when you really look at it, this team has a lot of sleepers that so much sleepers that I mean I love Tyler Vogel last year. I mean when I first saw him in when I first watched him in San Jose, he looks very athletic. The operation is very athletic, very smooth, very explosive. The fastball is up to 97. Got that hard curveball that is just really aesthetically pleasing to watch. And he also got that changeup to, I mean, he even throws that changeup against righty. So I mean, he has a lot of confidence in his stuff, and he has some, you know, late inning ice in his veins.
Yeah.
Yes, he saved a lot of, yeah, has to save a lot of situations. And yeah, I mean, I also love Dylan Cumming. Like the sweeper is just really good. I mean, this guy is along the lines of that funk that we saw from Ryan Walker, from, I mean, Ryan Walker, Camilo Duval. I mean, not that kind of like it's like low 90s fastball, but yeah, I mean that funk, that sidearm delivery, he gets a lot of sweep from that slider, and it's just French kiss. I mean Italian kiss. It's very good, very interesting. A lot of players here in Eugene are like super sleepers. I mean someone will just burst out of the scene and we'll instantly lock him up in our top 30s by the mid-season mark.
Yeah, Cumming needs to have the same progression that Walker did when he went from throwing, 91 to 97 over 2 or 3 years, and that'll certainly help him Popeyes. Okay, let's look at San Jose, which is much more star-strewn than Eugene. I think we both are going to go to the same place, but where are your eyes drawn when you look at the San Jose roster as you imagine it to be?
I mean, it's pretty easy, right? It's the infield. I mean, you can never go wrong if you have Walker Martin, and you can never go wrong with Walker Martin and Bryce Eldridge in the same team. But outside of that, it's also pretty interesting because, I mean, we still don't know if either Acuna or Foster will play in
Right.
Eugene or San Jose. So either one or both can play there in San Jose. So it gives them a lot of a much more meat into that lineup and into in defensively. I mean, we also likely see Anthony Rodriguez there, great defender, good. I mean, developing bat, but yeah, very good potential shortstop, but will likely move somewhere else because they likely prioritize Martin. And yeah, I mean, outside of that, there's also Ellen Rayo. I mean, very interesting bat, but the body will likely not hold up as he gets older, but there's some potential with the bat. So I mean, it's just at the end of the day, it's Bryce Elderson and Walker Martin.
Yeah, if they had a Huna and Foster in this infield along with Martin and Eldridge and Javier Francisco and Anthony Rodriguez and Jose Ramos, there's just so many choices. It wouldn't quite work. Yeah, the interest for me is wherever Bryce Eldridge is. I'm just so all in on this kid. His offensive potential is just off the charts. Although every time I say that, I remember John Manuel would used to say that you got to get some new charts. But his power potential is crazy. I think in the last week of camp, he hit four home runs and a couple doubles that I saw. He's going to go places. And I know the whole, taking him off the mound, taking him out of the outfield is meant to make him move quickly. He's only 19, so you'd think they'd give him time, but I think he's got the potential to hit himself out of San Jose pretty quickly. He's the rare teenage prospect that I could imagine getting to double A this year in his first year. We'll see how things go once he's on the field, but that could happen. He has that kind of potential, and he's not done. He's not close to getting to where his potential is. He's very big, but he's actually quite thin, and he can put a lot of good weight on that frame and turn himself into just, a real strong giant of a hitter. He's got a very quick bat through the zone. He has a good idea of what he's doing at the plate. He is offensively the whole package, in a way that I don't really know the last time the Giants maybe had an offensive player similar to him. I guess I do. It would be Luciano when he was 17, 18 was the same. Hopefully he avoids some of Luciano's injury history. But this guy's going to be the best prospect in the system. He's going to be a top 20 kind of prospect in baseball, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I already have Bryce Eldridge above Luciano right now. So, I mean, this is probably what we miss from Tyler Soderstrom when Soderstrom's stock is still at its highest. But yeah, I agree that he has a lot of power potential. I mean, some people already, by the time he was drafted, there are probably very conservative when they said that Eldridge has like just plus power. But when I saw the frame and the size, I mean, it's probably is I mean at the end of the day, it's probably going to be like Aaron Judge, like super rare power potential. I mean, when he fills out his body, and he also has a good knowledge of the strike zone. Yeah, I agree, he already has some idea of what he was doing at the plate. It's not really free swinging. I mean, there are still some concerns about how he will attack breaking balls. And yeah, but this is a very, very special bat that will definitely be my number one prospect by the end of the season, most likely, because I have Harrison Lee and Luciano, and they'll probably graduate at the end of this sometime in the next month or so. I mean, Luciano will probably be a little bit later this year, but Lee and Harrison will certainly be graduating next month. So yeah, I mean, I already have Eldridge at the very top of my rankings, and it's very exciting times.
There are a couple other guys I think are worth drawing attention to. I'm not sure where Quinn McDaniel's going to shake out in all this. He may be up in Eugene too. He's a really interesting guy. It's funny, he stands next to Eldridge and he really looks like a little leaguer out there. He's not a big guy, but he has an ability to put juice into the ball. It's a big swing, and I know scouts say he's going to have to tone that down in the pros, because it's a huge leg kick and a huge hack. But he's an interesting little twitchy dude. And Jonah Cox, I was impressed by in camp too. Really athletic, really can run. Played a great center field, and they also tried him in the infield. He looked good there. I don't know how much he's going to hit, but he's a really interesting athlete. The big question mark about the San Jose roster is Raynor Arias. He's going to be on it at some point, but I still have trouble believing they'll put a 17-year-old on this squad to open the season. Where do you think Raynor starts his year?
I mean, Arias will, I mean, in my opinion, Arias will most likely be starting in Arizona in the Complex League. But I mean, that's what my brain wants. But what my heart wants is to have Arias start in San Jose, because I mean, this guy is probably the best hit and power kind of international guy that we have seen. I mean, Luciano has him beat in raw power, but in terms of pure plain hitting, I think Arias clearly has Luciano beat, and the power is not too far behind. So this is a blend of the kind of bat that's pretty going to be pretty special. And based on what I saw on video in this spring training in the complex game so far, he looks very, very looks very, very good, very, very fit. I think he can play in center field, and you also posted a video of him throwing out a runner at home. So that's pretty promising with in terms of his arm strength. That will, I mean, this, I mean, I probably see him as more of a right fielder in the long run. But yeah, I mean, I think the athleticism can help him stick a center, but it's going to be a very, very interesting conversation at in a couple of days' time, and let's hope that our future versions, when you posted this, will probably have an answer for this, because it's going to be very, very intriguing. And because once Arias is added into the lineup of the trio of Arias, Martin, and Eldridge, it's very, very salivating. That's my turn.
Yeah, he's a good defensive player. I think the way Giants officials have talked to me about him is his instincts allow him to play up. He's his fringy speed for center field, but he's kind of in that Mike Yastrzemski sort of mold in that he's got really strong instincts that'll help him. He's better. He'll probably be better in right field, but he might be able to hang in center as an option. If he doesn't grow too big, but he's probably headed for right field. But still, he's got a high baseball IQ. He's got a great arm. He didn't look overwhelmed. He was playing on the same sort of rosters as Martin and Eldridge, and he didn't look overwhelmed by the pitching. Although you could see there was still breaking ball recognition issues. The one area where he kind of did struggles when people were throwing breaking balls. So you can imagine if he got into the Cal League and he's facing up against, other teams' versions of Joe Whitman, they'd probably work him over pretty good. And that may be the one note of caution that the Giants say, well, let's let him get his feet wet somewhere else, because you don't want him to kind of sink right off the bat. You want to ease him in and let him show his stuff. But it's possible they may say, you know what, he's just looked so good in camp that we'll give him the go. My guess is he starts in Arizona too, but I don't think it'll be long. And hopefully we'll see him and Eldridge and Martin all together on the same roster at some point this spring. The pitching staff, now they didn't draft a lot of pitchers last year, and that's been something we've seen a lot of the top draft has been going to San Jose. They didn't do that last year. So we've got Joe Whitman, and after that, I think there are a lot of question marks for how they're going to fill out this rotation. Who are guys you imagine would be there that are interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, outside of Whitman and probably Joshua Bostic,
Right.
their day two draft choice last year. I mean, it's a big question mark. I mean, we have returning guys like Esmerlin Vinicio. He'll probably return against San Jose. And then you also have likely, me thinking about it is kind of an indication of what the rotation will probably be looking like. I mean, one guy who is probably the most interesting of them is probably Alex Hernandez. I mean, I don't know if he's going to pitch in San Jose. Hopefully he will. He is a very, very interesting prospect, I must say, because he has that really high spin slider that's very
Yeah.
interesting, alongside a low 90s fastball right now. And the frame is still very, very lanky. I think he can still add a little more strength to his body. But that slider is going to, it's likely an above average pitch now, but it's likely going to be plus or even better as he gets older. So I mean, I'd probably slot him in the rotation, but there will be likely guys that are drafted in the third day, like Thomas Kean, like Timmy Manning, who will probably be pitching in the rotation at some point. But yeah, I mean, outside of Whitman and probably Bostic and probably Hernandez and Vinicio, I mean, it's a big question mark. I mean, it's probably even worse, I think, compared to Eugene. At least in Eugene, we already saw the good parts of them, like coming, like Ben Ma I mean, like Jack Choate. There,
Yeah.
I mean, in San Jose this year, it's a very big question mark because it's a we'll just see. We'll just see when they pitch. I mean,
Yeah.
there's still a lot of guys here, like Uber Mejias, though. I mean, we'll just see.
I think you named the most important guys. Bostic and Hernandez are probably the best sort of sleepers. I'm with you. I'm not sure if Hernandez is going to get up there. Unlike young international guys who they've boosted up there the last couple of years, Maldonado or Mercedes. Hernandez is not physically mature the way those guys were. He's still a pretty thin framed kid, pretty small. He could definitely stand to add strength and muscle, but he has a really interesting arm, and Bostic's a really interesting arm as well. I agree. After that, you get into sort of Ubert Mejia, Cesar Perdomo, Dylan Carmouche will probably pick up some innings, maybe Cale Lansbill. The back half of that rotation starts getting sketchy. All right, we've got a few minutes left. Who's your sleeper for the San Jose roster?
I mean, you already touched about it, and I'm going to say it's Javier Francisco. I really love the guy. I think he's going to be a very, he thinks it's going to be a breakout player this season for the Giants farm system because he's already, I think he's starting to realize his potential and starting to settle in and what he can do well and what he can improve. Like he's knowing. Like starting to know himself much better this year. And yeah, I mean, it's he led, I mean, he led most of the Arizona Complex League or the Giants Complex League teams in several hitting categories last year before he got promoted, where he posted 6 hits in his last 14 at bats, which is quite promising in terms of how he can handle the low A pitching. And he trotted him out in several outfield positions like left field, right field, and also all over the infield, like first base, second base, third base. I saw him do full splits at first base when he was trying to crawl a ground ball. And I also saw him like, and I also saw him do bare hand throws from third base. So he's very athletic. I mean, the only issue that I have from him is like the power. Will it ever translate? Because he posted good power numbers in Arizona before he got before the power got sapped in San Jose. I think he will refine. I think he will find that power once again in San Jose this year. I mean, who knows where he gets placed? Because I mean, I love the guy and I love how he plays. I think he plays all right. I think he plays better than Walker Martin defensively right now. And he's just entering his age 21 season, which is like a college junior. And I think there's going to be a big breakout potential from Francisco this year.
Yeah, he deserves a ton of credit for the player he's turned himself into. You look at him, he's not overly physical looking player the way Martin is, but he is a smart player. He really knows the strike zone. He has a great approach. He kind of has an idea of what he's doing. He can play all over the field. He's heady. He's athletic. He's really done a great job developing himself. I have just a couple I'll throw out there. In the bullpen, there are two pitchers who caught my eye in Arizona, Trent Harris and Cody Tucker. They're both older, but they do interesting stuff. Harris has a really vertical curveball that he matches with a really horizontal slider, and they're both outstanding. And he gets his fastball up in the 90s, so he's an interesting kind of sleeper arm. Cody Tucker has these huge hands. I saw him showing teammates how he could put the entire ball between his index finger and his middle finger. He throws a splitter that's a really interesting pitch. So they're both older, so you never know. But I both those guys kind of caught my eye with their potential out of the pen. All right, well, that's
The
a
Giants always do. Wait, the Giants always do this. Like they
yeah.
sign NDFA from independent leagues. Then we get to know him. We get to know them. We saw them pitch, and then they're quite interesting. The Giants always do this. So who knows who will be the next Spencer Bivens or the next Cody Tucker, Trent Harris, like the guy from the independent leagues. That will translate to the Giants and perform well and surprise us this year.
And it's interesting. Scott was talking to me about again the 165 thing, how they can't sign as many people just because they don't have a place for them, but also the economics of it. You actually have to give money to the independent league when you sign them, and if they make the majors, you give them more money. There are all these kind of behind the scenes stupid things that are preventing players from getting into pro ball. But there are a lot of interesting arms out there that the Giants pick up. Renzi, but before we go, I know you're kind of moving around in different places. Where can we find your work these days?
Yeah, I mean, this year I returned to Around the Foghorn because of the situation with the Giants Baseball Insider. Yeah, I am once again writing for Around the Foghorn, but I also am writing much more in my Patreon, Giant Perspective. You can subscribe to my Patreon page. Like, I mean, I first dropped my post at my Patreon before posting it at Around the Foghorn, and which is slightly edited, but you still get the most of the meat in my Patreon, and I will also do video stuff in Bayside Baseball. I mean, my former colleagues at Giant Baseball Insider are now launching the are now launching baseball Bayside Baseball, so come subscribe to us. We also have a YouTube channel, Bayside Baseball, and a Twitter account, Bayside Baseball. So yeah, I mean, I'm working likely overtime. So, well, I work in three places and also have a full-time job. So yeah, it's quite a year already. So I'm excited to cover the Giants prospects once again, and I already have, and I'm surprised to have surpassed the 5,000 follower mark on Twitter. Likely they're
Nice.
all. Likely they're mostly bots. But yeah, still an achievement nonetheless. So I mean, you're already in the 4,000 mark, Roger, so I'm hoping that you'll get there at the end of the year. So yeah, I mean, I'm thankful for the support, and I hope you continue to support me and my colleagues at Around the Foghorn and Bayside Baseball, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, you're killing me on Twitter, Rich. You're killing me. I need to up my Twitter game. Of course, you can find all my work at therearegiants.com. And boy, the season is here. I'm heading down to Richmond for Media Day very shortly. And I'll have lots of player interviews and video and great stuff from the season as we get going. So it's a good time to subscribe to therearegiants.com, where you'll get daily posts on all that's happening around the farm system Monday through Friday. And with that, let's play ball. Randy, thanks for joining me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. And we'll see Giants prospects this year.
We sure will.